just standing there.
Hi, this is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And it is Sunday, March 22nd, 2015. And tonight we're talking about the diabetes debacle. And those of you who've been listening for a couple of years know that I did a diabetes debacle episode about a year and a half ago. Well, it's even worse than I suspected. Back then, it was my contention that fewer than 1 in 714 diabetics could be shown to improve by their care after one full year of treatment. So for every year of treatment, only 1 in 714 diabetics were improved by their care. And this, of course, was established by a study done by the medical industrial complex itself. So I thought that was a pretty low success rate. I mean, if you went and purchased a car and you had a 1 in 714 chance of ever driving it, would you buy cars? Something like that. And so there's a new study that came out, a Danish study, and the results have been emailed to every doctor in America in their inbox. And so being on the doctor mailing list, I get these alerts, among other things. And so the gist of it is, she said, the bottom line is new figures suggest, this is medical terminology, that 25% of diabetic deaths, so if you're diabetic and you drop dead, there's a 25% chance your death was caused by medical therapy. Not malpractice, not an incompetent doctor, but a doctor properly treating your diabetes. And so tonight, I'm going to share with you the latest research on diabetes, the establishment numbers, and my interpretation, of course. So the goal tonight is don't let your therapy kill you. And, of course, as always, think happens. And my website, for those of you like a Mosean over there, is vitalitycapsules.com. Okay, so the best place to start, of course, is at the beginning. What is diabetes? So for those of you who have diabetes, diabetes is more sugar in your blood than belongs there. It's the inconvenience of sticking your fingers and checking your blood sugar. It's the inconvenience and side effects of pills. And it can also be stabbing yourself like some kind of voodoo doll at least once a day to administer your insulin. Most likely two or even three times a day. And worrying, of course, about whether or not you're going to get complications. So that's the patient view of diabetes. And, of course, frequent doctor visits. What about the doctor view about, diagnosing diabetes? How does your doctor know that you have diabetes? So this is important to get a handle on in order to understand this magnitude of the situation here. So the diagnosis of diabetes can actually be made in several ways. There are several tests that can be done, and many of them, it's recommended, be done over time because, of course, blood sugars can change, and that's the story. All right, so first thing to understand is what's a normal hemoglobin A1C? Well, normal hemoglobin A1C is anywhere from 4.5 to 6. And so the recommendation of the International Expert Committee is that the diagnosis of diabetes be made if hemoglobin A1C is greater than 6.5. And this has to be confirmed with a repeat hemoglobin A1C test. Now, hemoglobin A1C is the amount of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is the oxygen-carrying molecule in your blood. I won't say molecule, but complex in your blood. And a certain percentage of those hemoglobin molecules are attached to sugar. And the percent of molecules attached that have a sugar attached is called the hemoglobin A1c. Once these sugar molecules attach, they do not detach. It's an irreversible process. And red blood cells are destroyed by your body every 90 days and replaced with new red blood cells. So then, what happens is your hemoglobin A1c basically changes necessarily every 90 days. So you do a hemoglobin A1c and then it's repeated, and if both hemoglobin A1cs are 6.5 or greater, then you have diabetes. Now the committee, this is the International Expert Committee, recommends against mixing different methods to diagnose diabetes because the tests are not completely concordant. What does that mean? It means concordant means tests don't agree. So this means that you can be diabetic by one set of tests and not diabetic by another. So literally, whether or not you have diabetes can depend upon the test your doctor chooses to use for the diagnosis. This is an abstract written in the Archives of Medicine. So this is published and maintained on the National Institutes of Health website, PubMed. So this is not me making this up. Okay, so what they're saying then is the tests are not completely concordant, so using different tests can easily lead to confusion. So pick one test, they say, and stick to it. And again, for you, the patient, this is pretty arbitrary. They don't recommend that you, the doctor, pick one test or another test. They say pick one and stick to it. Okay. So fasting plasma glucose is another test. And so what the doctor does is he checks your blood sugar, or has you do it, in the morning before you've had anything to eat. And maybe two or three times, the doctor might even take an average and then decide if you have diabetes. Plasma glucose over 125 is diabetic. Another option for diagnosis is 2-hour post-glucose load plasma. Now, this used to be called the glucose tolerance test. It's not called that anymore because the glucose tolerance test was several hours long, so apparently they've shortened it to 2 hours. And so what the doctor does is to bring you into the office, gives you syrup, that's it, syrup, and measures your blood sugar 2 hours later to see what it is. And depending on the level, you have or do not have diabetes. So, and oral glucose tolerance tests are recommended for diagnosis of diabetes only if the hemoglobin A1c testing is not possible due to unavailability of the assay, and or patient factors preclude its interpretation, and also during pregnancy. So hemoglobin A1c testing is convenient, stable, and standardized. However, it's much more convenient for a patient, honestly, to measure his own blood sugar in the morning before breakfast on 2 or 3 separate occasions. But nevertheless, this is what the authors believe. Okay, so hemoglobin A1c is the best test, they say, but it has potential for systematic mistakes. Like what? You mean unreliable? Oh, no. And so what they're saying then, for this reason, it should be done in combination with plasma glucose determinations for the diagnosis of diabetes. So what they're saying then is even though hemoglobin A1c is a great test, what the heck, why don't you just do all the tests and just run that bill up? All right. So if the hemoglobin A1c test does not agree with the clinical picture or is equivocal, then plasma glucose testing should be performed. In other words, if the one hemoglobin A1c says diabetic, the next one says non-diabetic, then you should do more testing like a plasma glucose testing. And they're saying a diagnostic cutoff point greater than 6.5 misses a substantial number of people with type 2 diabetes and misses most people with impaired glucose tolerance. It's now impaired glucose tolerance is now interpreted as a milder form of diabetes. Combining the use of hemoglobin A1C and plasma glucose measurements for diagnosis of diabetes offers the benefits of each test and reduces the risk of systematic bias inherent in hemoglobin A1C testing alone. So, what's going on here is you're saying the best test is hemoglobin A1C, but it's not accurate or reliable. So if the results are difficult to interpret, then fall back on our standard, and by the way, cheaper, older test of just measuring the blood sugar. Just measure it directly and see what it is. Okay, so now you know that the criteria or the tests used for diagnosing diabetes are imprecise, number one. And number two, that it's a pretty firm cutoff here, 6.5% hemoglobin A1C. And that the people writing this paper feel it's very important that everyone with diabetes be diagnosed. Don't want to miss a single case. And 6.5% is where you diagnose diabetes. Now, diagnosis, of course, implies treatment. In other words, at 6.5, that's where you say to the person, sorry to tell you, but you've got diabetes. And you give them the bad news. All right, so keep that number 6.5 in your head. Now, that's very interesting. But then, the criteria come out as to when. Well, first of all, then the alert. So let's see what the alert says. So the alert says that a drop in hemoglobin A1C was associated with lower mortality among people with type 2 diabetes who had an initial hemoglobin A1C value more than 8, but with a higher death rate in those who started out at 8% or lower. This is based on a six-year study. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. The international expert panel says you need to start treatment at 6.5, but people whose treatment started anything less than 8 had a higher death rate. There must be something wrong. Surely a mistake. I mean, how could the expert panel, I mean, they're experts. They're international experts from several countries. So results from the population-based prospective observational study were published January 30th, 2015 in the British Medical Journal. And the British Medical Journal is the equivalent in Britain of the New England Journal of Medicine. So they don't just publish any old study. So this has been peer-reviewed, it's been raked over the coals, and they decided, you know what, we got to publish this. So that's what they figured. Now, of course, if I was a doctor treating diabetics and I found this out, I'm like, oh my God, how big is that mortality? How big is that increased death rate? All right. Hold on to your hats. So they say the death rate is, what the relative risk is 1.3, relative risk of death. 1.3. Those of you who aren't familiar with this kind of, I call it double speak. 1.3 means that the death rate of an untreated diabetic, which is an average diabetic, is set to be 1. And if you divide the death rate they observed by the average diabetic death rate, you would get 1.3. So it's 30% higher. So literally, you increase your death rate by 30% if your hemoglobin A1C is equal to or less than 8 at the time of diagnosis. So this is very clear. Let me repeat this. A total of 2,830 individuals died during a 6-year follow-up. And just in this, you know, this little study that they did of 11,205 adults, you know, we can say that more or less, you know, 700 died because of this therapy. That's a lot of death, even over 6 years. I mean, the measles outbreak and Disney didn't kill that much. And measles deaths over, you know, a period of a decade was only 135. So these people are saying that the death from medical therapy just in 11,000 adults, 11,205 adults, was somewhere around 700. That's shocking. This is an epidemic. Now, here they get into some pretty complex numbers. So try and follow it. If you can follow it, fine. If you can't, well, it's okay too. So variability in hemoglobin A1C of more than 0.5. So the hemoglobin A1C went up by 0.5 or down by 0.5 was associated with increased mortality for those with a hemoglobin A1C of 8% or lower, but not hemoglobin A1C of more than 8%. For those with an index value of 6.6 to 7.4, now if you have 7.4 and you have the variability of 5, brings you to 7.9, which I guess their counting is close to 8. So the hazard ratio then becomes 1.3. Now they say the reason for the lack of association between hemoglobin A1C variability and death for those with higher index hemoglobin A1C levels is unclear. Well, I beg to differ with that. You know, this is really disingenuous. So to get to the bottom of this one, you have to go to the diabetes chart, which is hemoglobin A1C test values and estimated average glucose. So get this. If your hemoglobin A1C is 8, follow this chart and look for the 8, then your average glucose is 154. If your hemoglobin A1C is more than 8, let's say it was 10, your blood sugar average is 246. So we can see that half a point of variability in the hemoglobin A1C, let's say if we go from 4.3 to 5 is 4.8, then it goes from 77 to 91. So that's about 14 points in blood sugar. Now, that's the hemoglobin A1C that they detected, and that's an average. Now, what's an average? An average means there's a lot of points higher, there's a lot of points lower, but on average, this is the number. So if you have an average hemoglobin A1C of 8, you're looking at a blood sugar of 154. Got it. Well, if you have 154 blood sugar and your blood sugar dips down on any given day by 100, you're hypoglycemic. You got a blood sugar of 54. Let's say it dips down by 130. Whoa, now your blood sugar is 20. So we come back, we'll see what happens to the person with a high hemoglobin A1C.
Your money. What is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Come to Finca Bayano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair. At bugoutpanama.com.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go.
Welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're taking a look at these hemoglobin A1Cs. What's up. So if you have a low hemoglobin A1C, in this case 8, one with increased death, then if your blood sugar plunges, say, 130 points, then you're pretty much passing out. Your blood sugar is down to 24, and that is very, very bad. And obviously, you can plunge even further. Let's say you have a hemoglobin A1C of 255. And you have the same variability. You have the same decline. So now your blood sugar has plunged 130 points, but wait, it started at 255. So you have a blood sugar of 125, and guess what? You're alive and well. So it's clear then that wide swings in blood sugar at a lower blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, 8 and less, easily puts you into the diabetic coma range from a blood sugar that's too low. But in the higher end range, say hemoglobin A1C of 11.5, then a blood sugar drop of 120 points, no problem. You know, this is not going to be a medical emergency. Even if it increases 120 points, say it goes to 370, again, this is type 2 diabetes, you're not in diabetic coma either. And so a person whose baseline blood sugar is high can tolerate wider swings in blood glucose without being medically compromised. The person's not going to go into a coma, and they're not going to die. At first, we've seen people walking around with blood sugars as high as 950. And those people can be easily and safely treated as outpatients. I know because I've done it. So, for the person doing this study who has any experience with diabetes to say, oh, I scratched my head. I can't figure out why a person with a higher hemoglobin A1C doesn't have an increased death rate from blood sugar, wider blood sugar swings. So we have somebody writing a study who has decided that, you know, they don't want to interpret this any further. They're just going to stop right there. Okay, so people with hemoglobin A1C greater than 8 appear to benefit from therapy. Now, the change in hemoglobin A1C was associated with the lowest mortality for greatest decline. So a 2 percentage point decrease in mortality. And the women and men got the same benefit. Thus, we've identified hemoglobin A1C variability and absolute changes in hemoglobin A1C to be associated with mortality independently of the A1C level, the researchers observe. But, in other words, the downside, so if hemoglobin A1C is 8 or less, then you have an increased chance, 30% increased chance, of dying as a result of your therapy, being killed. Remember, it's not murder, not punishable crime, because the doctor is specially certified by the government and has special permission to administer the standard of care. So this is not murder. This is just killing. If, on the other hand, your hemoglobin A1C is more than 8, your death rate declines by 2%. 2%. So, this is a very, very small upside. It's like a sliver of a sliver. And the study was supported by an unrestricted grant from the TRYG Foundation and a PhD fellowship from Irish University, and the authors have no other relevant financial relationships. So, of course, you have to ask yourself, good question. We'll find out how to get that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How many of you think the government will take care of you after a disaster? How many of you think the government took care of you after the Joplin tornado, or Hurricane Sandy, or Hurricane Katrina? The truth is that the government's never done a good job of taking care of disaster victims. And frankly, I'm not going to trust the government with my life. And if you're like we are, and you want to protect and defend yourself from whatever the future brings, we'll show you how at the Get Prepared Expo, Saturday and Sunday, March 28 and 29, at the Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. I'm Vincent Finelli, host of the Get Prepared Expo. Are you the only one in your family who thinks about preparedness, storing water, storing food, learning about first aid, canning, dehydration, and growing a high-yield garden? Well, you're not alone. There'll be thousands of people just like you at the Get Prepared Expo. One-day weekend tickets, $8 online, $10 a day at the door. Saturday and Sunday, March 28 and 29, Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
HempUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of microplant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Give such delight.
Welcome back to Healing Expert. We're looking at this study, and it's interesting the conclusions it draws or fails to draw. So we have to take a look then, who paid for this study? Well, the TRYG Foundation, T-R-Y-G Foundation, is a Danish foundation that is dedicated to health, well-being, and safety. So that helped them come to the conclusion of the increased death rate among diabetics who receive therapy. Now, what about the other sponsor? Well, the study was administered by the Danish hospital, the Danish university, and this university was Aarhus University. Well, wouldn't you know, Aarhus University is linked to a hospital. Now, what happens in a hospital? Well, you treat all those people with hemoglobin A1Cs of 8 or less, whose blood sugars go too low, and you treat all of their complications and near disasters caused by the low hemoglobin A1C. As we mentioned before in the United States, that when a hospital treats someone and they're discharged alive, the bill, more or less, is $4,000, and when a person is discharged deceased, the bill is about $45,000. Well, obviously, if you have an increased death rate of 30%, the increased revenue rate is tremendous. And so this may be in part why the study's authors did not feel they could come up with a reasonable hypothesis as to why the lower hemoglobin A1C was associated with increased death when people showed a fluctuation in their hemoglobin A1C. And so study funding is, I won't say everything, almost everything. So we've now figured out that there's a lot going on here, that is an increased death rate among diabetics. And of course, it's really shocking. So now the next thing to figure out is, what does this really mean? You know, and of course, it's nice to take a look at money, because that's, that always helps sort things out. It turns out, well, first of all, let's take a look at the death rate. What is the death rate for diabetics? Notice that this study does not tell you what the death rate is for diabetics. So if these study results are transferable to the United States, and there's no reason to believe that they're not, then the death rate for diabetics we can find at www.diabetes.org. This is an advocacy group for diabetes. So if we go there and we check out their website, they will tell you a diabetic is 1.66 times as likely to die as a regular U.S. citizen. So what is the death rate for a regular U.S. citizen? Well, the death rate is somewhere around 0.008. So in other words, that's the same as 0.8%. So 1.66 times that is more or less about 1.3%. chance of dying, I'm sorry, over, yeah, 1.3% chance of dying in a year. So if you take a look at that that number, you take us out over 6 years, then over a 6 year period, the death rate for just your, you know, run the mill average diabetic is 7.25%. So then you have to take a look at, okay, so we've got this 2% reduction in mortality. It's not a 2% increase in survival. No, no, no. It's a reduction in mortality. So we're going to shave a sliver off of this 7.25%. So 7.25% death rate over 6 years, that means obviously that 94.75%, I'm sorry, 92.75% of diabetics at the end of 6 years are going to be alive. So we're not increasing that survival, we're just decreasing the mortality. So we're working on a 7.25 figure here. And so if we take the maximum benefit of treatment, which is 7.25 minus 7.17, and we divide that by 7.25, that gives us a total percentage, and then we divide that by 6 years, we take the reciprocal, which gives us a percentage point, so it's multiplied by 100, it's 7,518 people. So in any one given year, one person in 7,518 is likely to benefit from their medical therapy. And that's if their hemoglobin A1C is more than 8. So if it's less than 8, they're dying from the therapy. If it's more than 8, one in 7,518 dies every year. So to have a 100% chance of benefit for your medical therapy for diabetes, you would need to live 7,518 years. That's a lot of years and a lot of money to extend one life by 1 year. So this is very interesting. So we've got a pretty low yield operation going on here. So either you're going to have an increased death rate of 30% over doing nothing, or it's going to take you 7,518 years to experience benefit. And so if you trickle this down and multiply it out, so let's give the other piece. The other piece of the puzzle is money. So how much money does this amount to? I mean, so how much does it cost to treat 7,518 diabetics? Well, all we have to do is ask the folks who keep track of this stuff. We go again to diabetes.org/advocacy. And I know these are the good people, and I know their figures are accurate. Why? Because they've got the Diabetes Association label logo there on their site. So this is a legitimate, authoritative site. And they're going to tell us all about diabetes. I mean, that's the real deal. And so this site is sponsored by the American Diabetes Association. Again, hey, my numbers, their numbers. And so what they say then is the yearly cost. And they use the word cost, but I want you to think profit. And you say, well, Dr. Daniels, it can't all be profit. I mean, it goes to overhead. No. Every dollar of this money ends up in somebody's pocket. It's in somebody's paycheck. It's in somebody's hands. So this isn't like it disappears. This is revenue for somebody. And you need to understand this money goes to somebody's benefit, not the patient's benefit. So we've established then the patient's chances of benefit are worse than his chances at your average casino. And most people don't consider themselves gamblers and they wouldn't gamble at a casino. So you have people who wouldn't even gamble at a casino, and here they are submitting to medical therapy for their diabetes. Am I saying diabetes should not be attended to? Am I saying it should be ignored? No. But I am saying that it appears in most cases 7,517 cases for sure, that it's better to ignore it. So what the American Diabetes Association has calculated is that there's an annual cost of medical care for diabetics. And, you know, they carry on about breaking it down by race or by this or by that, but we all know it doesn't really matter. It just matters what you eat. So the average medical expenditures, again, and read average medical revenue for the medical industrial complex, for each diabetic is $13,700 per year. That's a pretty penny, $13,700 a year. What could you do with $13,700 a year, sensibly free of taxes? But more to the point, what could you do with $13,700 multiplied by 7,518, which comes out to be $59.1 million in revenue, beneficial money. You can keep it yourself. You can hire your relative to be an orderly, whatever you want to do. Build a hospital, whatever you want to do with it. Your money. Your money, you do what you want. And this is how much money is spent to help one diabetic live 1 minute longer every single year. Now, a diabetic has survived if he dies 1 year and 1 day, right? So he didn't die in that year, so you got it. So to help one diabetic live 1 year and 1 day, this is what the medical industrial complex is collecting, $59.1 million. And that's if we only figure $7,900, which is a diabetes related medical costs, but there are other healthcare costs associated with being diabetic. And we can reasonably presume that those other medical costs would probably not be sustained if the person were not diabetic. And so that's $13,700, and that comes again to $103 million, $7,560 for each diabetic that they claim to benefit. What hospital in their right mind what drug company in their right mind, even what insurance company would want to cure diabetes? Because see, the insurance company's revenue is cost plus. The bigger the cost, the bigger their profits. And so there's really nobody in the mix here, not the hospitals, not the insurance companies, not the drug companies, who have any interest whatever, not only in curing diabetes, but even in improving diabetes. So we have a figure here, I mean a number. It's called NNT, that's numbers needed to treat. And you need to look that up, NNT, numbers needed to treat. In this case, it's 7,518 people you have to treat for a full year for one person to benefit. That's a pretty low NNT. Even people who track NNTs suggest that therapy is beneficial when the NNT is less than 99 or less. That's a cutoff. You can pick your own cutoff, though. I mean, you can set your standards. But look at it this way. If you went to the store and you purchased a pound of Washington cherries, and your probability of actually receiving those cherries was 1 in 7,518, you probably would not buy cherries. What if your probability of receiving the cherries that you paid for was 1 in 2? Would you buy cherries? In other words, at the checkout, you pay for the cherries, and they spin the roulette wheel. If it's black, you get them. If it's red, you don't. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. You don't get cherries today, but thank you for paying. Goodbye. We'll see you next time. Would that be okay with you? Okay, so that's a number needed to treat of 2. What if your chances of getting a cherries were 2/3? In other words, I'll tell you a realistic scenario is you buy a pound of cherries, you check out, they hand you a bag of cherries, you get home, you find out the cherries are rotten. Probably you might first of all, you might try and return them. Good luck. Second of all, is you might decide, it's too long a ride to the store. I'm not going to return them, but I'll just maybe pay better attention next time when I pick out cherries. And so it might be that your chance of getting a good bag of cherries is about 66%. Would you still buy cherries? You might not. But all I'm saying is, you need to pick your own NNT. What is it that's satisfactory for you? And I'll tell you this. If you spend your money, or your time even, on things that have less than a 1% chance of benefiting you, that's an NNT of 99, then you're going to spend 99% of your time on useless things. In the case of medicine, if you engage in a therapy with an NNT of 99, just in general, that means 99% of your therapy is going to be ineffective. Because you might benefit from one thing, but you're dealing with NNTs of 99, right? So 99% of your time, energy, and money necessarily must be wasted. So I would suggest to avoid this diabetes debacle. And not only diabetes, but hypertension, arthritis, whatever, ask your doctor, what's the NNT for this therapy? What's the NNT for this diagnosis? And most doctors are going to go, huh? And you can even look it up yourself. You can just Google NNT for fill in your disease. It'll pop right up. And then numbers need to treat for benefit. The next thing you need to take a look at is, what are they defining as benefit? I'm taking the definition of these people who did the study, which is simply that you live a year and one day. A year and one day. That's it. That's benefit. And that I think is a pretty low level of benefit, but that's my opinion. You need to set your own opinion. You've got to have your own standard. So looking at the so that's the dollars and cents piece of it. Well, let's take a look at what's going on in medicine in terms of doctor, no doctor, whatever. A lot of people, I tell people to avoid doctors. And I thought, that that would help people avoid being murdered by medical care. And it seems that's not true. So when we come back, we'll talk about the third column, or the fifth column, however you want to look at it.
Please don't go. No, please don't go.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. When I stopped to do some walking, I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had three bypass 10 years ago. And I was in bed almost 24 hours a day. Painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015 with a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who will shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free Your Mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Give such delight.
I'd like to just point out to people that we're coming up on the hour, and that's our time for questions. So people who have questions can call in at 800-313-9443. That number again is 800-313-9443. We'll take questions at the top of the hour. Oh, that's 6 more minutes. Well, this explanation may take a little longer. All right, so what to do? So these studies are being released. People are getting information. So what do you do? The people who make the QuickPen, that's Humalog. Humalog makes the QuickPen, which is an insulin delivery system, so you get the insulin inside the pen, and you can buy cartridges. At least that's the way it was last time I checked. And so what they're doing is they've got a study. And it's called the Autonomy Study Protocol. What's autonomy? Patients, the Humalog self-titration algorithm. So this is an algorithm they give to patients, say to the patients, now follow these instructions and administer your insulin based on these criteria. All right, so what's the criteria? Now remember, we checked out these hemoglobin A1Cs, and we have a more or less equivalent value as to what each hemoglobin A1C level means. This is a printable chart you can get on the internet. And so we're saying, if your blood sugar is greater than 115, and 115 correlates with hemoglobin A1C of 6.6, then increase your insulin by 1 unit. You're saying then is if your hemoglobin A1C is in, keep increasing your insulin until you get to the deadly range. And the lower limit of the deadly range, too, here, they're cutting this pretty close. 6.6. They're training people to do this. Let's see how this study went. They're saying additional insulin doses were added at the doctor or supervisor's discretion. So if the blood sugar is 85 to 114, don't give any insulin. So if the blood sugar then is in the hemoglobin A1C range of less than 6.5 hemoglobin A1C, no therapy. But at 6.6, by golly, on up, increase that insulin. And so what did they find? They even gave blood sugar, blood glucose at bedtime. So what they found was shocking, to me anyway. We'll talk more about these results when we get back. I think that's the music I hear.
No, please don't go.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how